Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And get drafted. It starts with Martell Webster, taken number 6 by Portland. Any thoughts on Martell Webster?
He was in the league for a long time, probably made a lot of money, but he wasn't a very good player. He had knee issues.
Andrew Bynum went to an all-star game, also in that draft.
Made a $17 million in one-year deal at one point, but was not a very good player.
Gerald Green, I believe, still in the association.
Still in the association with Toronto and a chance to win a ring this year.
C.J. Miles out of Dallas, drafted by Utah and had a pretty brief career.
Not still in the association?
I'd have to double-check that. I think, actually, he might be still with Utah.
He's somewhere, I thought. He's somewhere in the, I think he's still
in Memphis.
The league. Yeah, okay.
Spent some time
still
in the G League, but still in the league. Ricky Sanchez never appeared in the association. The Warriors took Monte Ellis straight out of high school.
Whose pick? Was that Chris Mullin's pick? Chris Mullin, that was his great pick, second round find. He's one of the first guys to remember how great a kid was in high school, and I think Monte was under the radar. He got hurt or something like that, and Chris Mullin made that pick. That was a great pick.
You had Lewis Williams, you had Andre Blatch, and Amir Johnson drafted by the Pistons. All these guys straight out of high school. I guess my point of this exercise is some hit and some miss, but at least these individuals had an opportunity and an option to control their own destiny.
So it's freedom. You're looking at freedom. If you don't have freedom unless you have the freedom to fail.
Yes.
And I'll interject here. And
please.
I think that you guys have to look at the circumstance and look at the individuals. Some people aren't built for college. Let's just be real. Some of them can't qualify to get into college. They don't pass the ACT.
Prop 48,
SAT,
yeah.
Or Prop 48, and they don't even have that. And sometimes, so they don't even have that. So that's no longer an option. So when you think about what's going on, a lot of these kids that would probably be in the NBA, now they're lost. Couldn't have flunked out of school, whether it's high school, whatever it may be, and don't have the opportunity to go to college. So listen, at least these guys like the Zions and these guys, they had to pass the ACT or either the SAT to be able to play their freshman year. So if you look at it in that regard, you're saying, okay, these guys are comparable in being able to do some of those things. So I look at it as, okay, high school or college, I think that the one and done, I have no problems with it. I have no problems with it. And I think that it's tough because there's a lot of kids out there, like you're talking about, Dibs, and I do understand that part of it, that maybe won't even qualify for high school. I mean, don't even qualify for college. How many of those guys are done? How many of those guys never have an opportunity to play in association because of the fact they just flunked out of school?
Or you're forced to go to junior college.
Yeah, and get lost. So there is a side to that.
888-957-9570. Will Zion Williamson have the ability now to do away with the one-and-done rule?
A lot of this, the reason for the one-and-done isn't for the player. It's protecting ownership. It's protecting them from having to invest multi-millions of dollars into somebody who's extremely young, who you don't know if they're going to make it or not make it. And a lot of these rules are in place to protect management slash ownership. It's harder to judge a kid based on fewer years of play. You get another year to look at a kid. You get another year extended out where you get a chance to see what they are. You're not investing. Would I rather invest $10 million in an 18-year-old or get a chance to see them one more year and invest the same $10 million when they're 19 years old?
The good thing about this, and I think you guys got to look at this, and I think, Daniel, you would agree with me here, probably Coase won't.
Don't put words in his mouth.
If Zion, let's just say if he was in the NBA and that happened last night, let's just say it would have been a horrific injury, and he's done, he couldn't play.
Let's say it was an ACL. It wasn't ACL, just a slight sprain.
It would, okay. Yeah, so what happens then? Or a situation where it's just NBA and nothing is just like this that it is now, that it happened. What happened to him now is just happened. What happened? Where is he at? I think it's going to be a blessing in disguise because of the fact he had Duke. He's got a if he would have been in the friggin' the NBA D League, because that's where he would have been. If he would have been playing there,
and he would never have been in the G League. He would never have played in the G League.
It's just okay, just NBA whatever. But I'm just saying, because he had a brand like Duke that he was able to play, and everyone tuned in, everyone was watching. The president came to watch. The ex-president came to watch him play. He just made more money last night because of an injury than he would have made in his whole career. If this was NBA, he's not necessarily that brash. He's not, but he's a dominant player. People wanted to see him. He just made more money by an injury, unfortunately, that he's ever going to make in the NBA, because now Nike and everyone is jumping on the bandwagon and they're going to have to overpay him. His face is going to be even more. This is a unfortunate. I'm glad he's not hurt. Seriously. It's a blessing in disguise.
So you think that it's actually a blessing for Zion that he was able
no
to...
No question.
Especially considering that the knee injury doesn't look to be that severe.
Yeah, since the injury's not that severe, this guy made millions last night.
Hundreds of millions, you could argue, because I think you make an interesting point about Nike, and I know Nike's released a statement saying, we're obviously concerned and want to wish Zion a speedy recovery. The quality and performance of our products are of utmost importance. While this is an isolated occurrence, we are working to identify... the issue. So
this is the biggest brand is coming out. Oh, we're sorry. Look how quick they made a statement
already.
Do you know how many millions this guy just made last night? Hell, his room is full of flowers. I mean, the dude can do any. I mean, he get on a plane and go tell Nike, write me a blank check. There's a here. You don't think that Nike now is this guy?
He can hire an agent right now. He could come out and say, you know what? I'm not going to play for Duke anymore. I'm withdrawing from school. I've hired an agent. And my shoe endorsement deals are open for business. Come on down. I'm going to the Hamptons. I'm getting Katie's old house. I'm going to post up in the Hamptons.
You came in at 100.
And we're going to see what happens.
See what happens.
Tyler in Concord wants to weigh in on the one-and-done rule. 888-957-9570. Will the one-and-done finally be out of our life, Tyler?
You know, I don't think so. I think if you look at it from the other side where they're trying to maybe set these kids up so they can understand finances better. Because I know when I was 18, I mean, even in my 20s, I didn't have any idea about credit.
I agree.
How to manage my money. And I'm not making anywhere near what Zion Williams is going to make. So I think that the one and done is a good in that sense, because maybe they can take some classes on finance, how to manage their money, so they don't end up like a, you know, like an Antoine Walker or like so many NFL players that are just, they don't have any money left after they retire because they didn't know how to manage it. You know what I mean? And I don't want to see that for these kids. I mean, yeah, it sucks when someone is clearly good enough to be in the NBA. I mean, Zion Williamson, I'm a Bulls fan. He could play on my team and we'd be probably 10 wins better than what we're going to end up. You know what I mean? But it sucks. But I think there's some good to it too. They go to school for free at Duke and they also can learn how to manage their money and be more of an adult. So they don't end up, you know, asking for pennies towards the end or
right
after they retire. And that's really all I care about. Is I as much as I dislike some franchises, like I don't want to see anybody end up broke after they give their bodies. But to prevent an injury like you guys were just talking about, like say he did tear his MCL or ACL, why don't they do what football players do? Because they have to stay for 3 years. So, like, the elite football players, like I remember Jadeveon Clowney, he got an insurance policy to make sure that if he did get hurt, he would get paid from the insurance policy however much he would have gotten paid based off of where he was going to get drafted. Can they do that in college basketball like they do in college football?
They can, Tyler, and thank you for the phone call. But because it's just one and done, a lot of times players don't go that route because the risk is a lot less, not only because basketball is not as violent, but because 1 year – is obviously a lot less exposure than 3 years. 888-957-9570. Should this be the straw that breaks the back of the one and done rule? And what would you do if you were Zion Williamson as it pertains to a shoe deal? Would you hold Nike over the barrel or would you never put those shoes on again after what happened? It's Kohs Low in Dibs, and it's also Anna Kagarakis with what's going on the game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
It's Joe Lowe and Dibs, Dan Dibley in, Lorenzo Neal missing, Joe Fortenbaugh on a vacation for a long weekend. Jim Cosmore is here.
Yeah, he is.
888-957-9570. Hit us on the Chilton Autobody text line, 95795. We're talking about the big story from last night. Zion Williamson ripping through his Nike shoe some 33 seconds into the Duke, North Carolina game. He sprains his knee. He had to leave the game. He did not return. And Duke unable to recover. North Carolina with the blowout victory. But the big takeaways, Zion Williamson, is he done at Duke? Will he pursue a shoe contract with Nike? Should he, Jim? Or should he choose another shoemaker after what happened last night at Cameron Indoor?
I would come back and play, and I would not be wearing a Nike shoe if I did come back and play, if I were Zion Williamson. After reading Nike's statement, I don't know if you have it handy.
Yes,
I would,
we do.
I would let everyone read the statement then, so everyone understands how right I am.
So Nike didn't even wait 12 hours to come out with a statement as it pertains to this story, because it was such a huge happening last night. Nike with this, quote, "We are obviously concerned and want to wish Zion a speedy recovery. The quality and performance of our products are of utmost importance. While this is an isolated occurrence, we are working to identify the issue."
Yeah. After hearing that, if I'm Zion, I'm calling up 1-800-LAWYER.
Oh, God.
And I'm lawyering up, because Nike almost stole hundreds of millions of dollars from me with their faulty product. If I'm a guy who's a teammate of his, I probably take tape and put it over the Nike logo when I go out on the floor the next game I play, because now my season has been ruined because it maybe injured the greatest player in the college game. So he's going to make money off suing Nike. He's then going to make money when he signs with Adidas or Under Armour. If I'm Under Armour, I'm on the phone right now. "Hey, Steph, can you just put a call into Zion? Just find out what size he wears. We'll be shipping those over to him a little bit
and
later."
And Puma already tweeting over the top that this wouldn't happen in their shoes. And so all the shoemakers are just licking their collective chops over this. At 8:30, we'll talk to Sam Amick, get his thoughts on the Kings-Warriors tonight and some of the Warriors second half preview talk. At 8:45, the state of the Western Conference as the three of us see it. Lo, you don't seem to be in agreement with James Cosmore as it pertains to Zion suing Nike. Please explain.
I think James has another profession. You can make a lot of money. Stand-up comedy, man, because you're absolutely funny. Oh, they just, I'm on the horn. I'm so, thank you. I mean, you never cease to, I mean, you got the driest humor, but it's so friggin' funny.
You need
funny.
A shower with my humor.
Yeah, there you go. I
mean, some lotion, God, maybe.
But it sticks. It's like, wow, look at this guy. This guy made more money than he's ever going to make on the basketball court last night. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm happy that the guy's not injured. It's a sprain.
I agree.
And for you to sit here and say this guy should play, and he's going to be ready to play
once
in 3 weeks.
He's
going to be healthy in 2 weeks. And then you want him a week to get in shape and then a week to go out there. Wouldn't do it. He has nothing to prove. Now, this was the beginning of the season. I could see him coming back. But now this is too far in the season. It's done. This guy right now, last night, he made millions.
If this happened in December, what would you think?
If this happened early December, without a doubt, the guy's probably coming back and he's playing.
Okay.
I think right now he can't play. He will not play again in Duke. Guarantee it. The guy's not going to play. He's going to get advised. And here's the situation. This guy now, Nike, you're talking about he's going to get probably $200-$400 million. He is in a.
He's not going to get $200-$400 million. To wear a shoe?
Kevin Durant got 60 his rookie deal. Yeah, guys getting 70. Let me tell you right now, it just went up. Because what is Adidas or what are those other shoes companies going to pay him? If Nike's going to double or triple, what Zion can walk in there and say, "This is what I want," and now you're on a campaign with them, and he says, "I want my own Zion shoe," and then I played you the $6 million man music, and now you can build a brand and build a shoe for this guy and call it the Zion. Do you know what that'd do? Come on, this guy, the Nike is going to give him they're going to open up their doors. They're not going to lose this guy. I'll make you a bet, Cozy.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Let's say the Atlanta Hawks win the lottery. So they're going to take him. Is he worth $300 million in Atlanta?
He's worth $300 million anywhere. Because you know why?
What if the Knicks win the lottery?
Guess what? I don't care if you won the lottery. He's worth it to you because now you're parading this guy everywhere. If you're Nike, you're parading him. You're showing that commercial with Duke. guarantee you right now, Nike will show in that commercial, it's going to show the blowout in the shoe. Guarantee.
No chance they ever show the blowout again.
No chance they ever show it.
I don't think if they end up signing him, and I like your idea about the Zionic, and the actual name came from a texter, I believe the 925 Anna, if I'm not mistaken.
That was 707.
I apologize to the good people of 707.
Yeah, 925 was Zionic Man.
Yes, and I think Lowe had the $6 million or the $600 million man theme song. I personally can't see him going forward with Nike, but I can see the point you're making. 888-957-9570. Let's go to Steven and Vallejo and see what old Steven Babb has to say on the subject. What's up, Steven? What's good?
Good morning, gentlemen. How's it going?
Fabulous.
So I think good. I think the one and done isn't going to go anywhere. I think these kids need time to develop just off the court, on the court with their game. Now, as far as the shoe deal, you know, Nike's going to have to distance themselves a little bit from this just because it's all anyone's going to be talking about until Monday. So they don't really want to come out with anything right away because that's just going to fuel more fire to what's going on. Now, if the other shoe companies are smart, they're going to move in right away. Great idea, Lo. I'm definitely with you on that. But I'm Team Codes with another shoe company coming in to do it. And if Under Armour was smart, they'd be on the phone right now with Duke, maybe even sitting outside the AD's office, and try to steal that that contract away. And Under Armour should represent Duke.
Don't go anywhere. Hang on. Don't
you stepped
nice
on his uptick. That was a great uptick.
Are you still there?
Yep, I'm still here.
Okay, let me tell you something. So if I was going to deal you here, I'm going to give you $2, right? And I said I want you to wear this shoe. But then,
I'm not wearing a shoe for $2.
Okay, let's say $1 million. You're wearing a shoe,
okay.
And then all of a sudden, another shoe company came and said, "You know what? I told you. You know if they gave you $1 million, I'm giving you 15. What are you taking?
The 15.
That's what you guys
depends
don't,
on which shoe caused you, me to sprain my knee.
And that's what you guys don't realize. Guys are creatures. I don't care. He understands what's at stake. That's generational wealth. If one shoe company's going to pay him 60 and Nike's going to say, I'm going to step up and pay you 120, I don't care if he got hurt in the shoe. And he does. He's going to sign it. He's going to go in there, and I'm guaranteeing you he's going to make over 100 with Nike. You guys don't understand the power of money, the golden rule. He who owns the gold rules.
Adidas got a lot of money.
Adidas ain't going to outbid Nike.
Yeah, they can.
Do it.
There's an old saying. I think they have it in Tennessee. They might have it in Texas as well. Fool me one time, shame on you. Can't get fooled again. Okay? So if you're Zion Williamson, you wear the Nikes, fool me one time, shame on you. Can't get fooled again. So I don't care if Nike offers me 120. If somebody else is offering me 60, and I know that when I plant to do a reverse pivot as I'm making the first move of the night in the most anticipated game and the entire season of college basketball, I know that my shoe is going to hold. And that, to me, supplants the golden rule.
They're
going to
create a new shoe for this kid, Dibs. You
it
know
better
that.
Be built with
Dibs.
Brick on the side because
Dibs, you know they are. It's Nike. They're
titanium.
They're going to create a new shoe, and they're going to build a campaign around him. With the first guy that did and really build and make a shoe. They're going to
And I wouldn't let my kid wear one of those shoes saying, wow, he stepped through one of those shoes before. Hey, kid, wear anything but Nike.
888-957-9570. If you've got issue with this conversation, with Coase, with Lowe, with myself, with Anna, hit us on the Beef Line. 415-403-8588. Beef Line calls tomorrow at 7:30.
Come at Joe on the Beef Line, by the way.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Now that he's not here.
Come at him hard.
Load management, 2 weeks?
Yep.
415-403-8588. Let's go to Coach P in Fremont. He wants to weigh in briefly, Coach P, on topic.
Preach.
Good morning. You're on
to.
95.7 The Game.
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy Tequila Thursday. Man, love the show. Cozy with Coase. Good Thursday morning radio. And on the one and done, I mean, it should be thrown out. These kids should be able, if they can ball, they should be able to go and ball. I don't know if you can kind of, you know, franchises can kind of guide them on how to handle money, get them some like, kind of, you know, financial advisors or something like that, or give them incentives if they maybe stay in college longer to get more money. I don't know. But I mean, if they can ball, get them on the court, or at least throw them in the G League or something. This whole one and done thing, it's pretty much, I don't know, you should be able to make your decision whether you want to leave high school and go straight to pros or you want to go get education. It should be on the player. And on the shoe, I, you know, it would be pretty funny if you have, like, KD doing a call for, like, Nike, and then all of a sudden you got Steph on the other line doing a call for Under Armour to Zion, and he's sitting there like, well, I got two Golden State Warriors on the phone right now. Because at the end of the day, it all comes down to business, and these shoes, you know, they bring in a ton, boatload of money. And you're right, Lo, this kid's going to make more money off his shoe than he does on the court. Love the show, guys. Let's go, Oakland. Go.
Appreciate it, Coach P. We had to cut you off because you went over your allotted 30-second limit by about 30 seconds,
that
by
was
the way.
Self-applied. He's the one who said 30 seconds.
Well, it's only because we strongly encourage it from the back because Coach P, a.k.a. Lionel Hutz, the pride of Fremont, occasionally will go on a little bit long, but he used his bonus time, low to praise you, so you should probably respond to the young man.
I just think that you guys got to really understand the power of money. And Nike's been around, and it's been a pretty good brand. And they got the greatest player, arguably, that ever played, Michael Jordan. And you think that Michael won't pick up the phone and say, look, kid, that's unfortunately, glad you didn't get hurt that bad. But look, Nike wanted to make it right. And now you have a chance to be a player that can to get more money than any freshman, any college player ever. He's doing it.
I just want to put this out there because we're talking about a player signing a shoe deal and, you know, contracts they get as players. Some of the best agents in the NBA are actually in the Bay Area. Bill Duffy, East Bay guy, I think his practice is out in Walnut Creek. He's got over $200 million in player contracts that he handles. If someone knows Bill up there, we'd love to have him on.
Oh, yeah,
just to find
awesome.
Out. Or Aaron Goodwin, based out of Oakland. He's got a number of NBA players. Aaron's got over $100 million of player contracts that he has, that he watches, that he negotiates for his athletes.
God, if someone knows him, please get those guys on.
One of those two guys, and they're both tremendous gentlemen.
Tremendous.
I've had a chance to, I'm acquaintances of theirs. And they're wonderful gentlemen. If someone knows them, man, 888-957-9570. If we could get Bill Duffy or Aaron Goodwin on, just to ask, what would you tell your client if you had Zion? And I don't know if they can speak in those terms because they might be recruiting the guy for all I know.
They can talk hypotheticals.
Yeah. I mean, what would you tell your athlete if they stepped through a shoe, if they almost had their career ruined by a shoe?
That's Jim Cosimore booking guests. He's doing a great job in for Joe today. It's Joe Low and Dibs with Coe's in for Joe. Right now we go to the phones. Another terrific gentleman, and these are Jim's words, and I'm taking these words on behalf of Jim because he knows our next guest very well. It's Sam Amick, senior NBA writer of The Athletic. Sam, thanks for joining us. I want to hit you with Warriors-Kings questions, but first, the Zion Williamson shoe incident. What did you make of it, what you saw last night, and what would you do if you were advising the young man?
Shoegate.
Gentlemen, thanks for having me and the kind words. It's funny, you know, I would love to hear both Bill and Aaron, the guys you mentioned, on your airwaves. They have a ton of experience on this front. Aaron in particular has cut, you know, just massive shoe contracts. I don't know what you tell Zion. You know, you're sitting there on the precipice of a special thing and jumping into this league and doing a massive shoe deal, and then you have these optics that on the shoe front are obviously terrible, but then more importantly, on the health side, you got to figure out what you're going to do. I mean, you can't make a decision here until you get the clarity on the medical front. I heard some of your guys' discussion earlier in the morning about one and done and the debate that now is kind of re-sparked, but certainly unfortunate to see what happened last night.
Terribly unfortunate to see a player with that much promise go down. Hopefully he's able to come back and get ready for the tournament. If not, he's still going to be a top one or top two pick in the NBA draft. Sam, as we turn our attention toward the second half now, and we say second half, obviously liberally, with just 25 games left to go, is there any intrigue for you in the Western Conference outside of maybe a race for the eighth seed?
No, I mean, well, yeah, OKC and Houston, to varying degrees, I feel like they have comported themselves as like as legit, you know, second tier contenders. And, you know, in the Bay and in, you know, this part of the country, certainly we spend a ton of time trying to analyze the question of is anybody in the West going to actually push the Warriors? And so Denver's kind of in its own little category. They've had some nice moments against Golden State over the course of the past couple of years where matchup wise you say, all right, that'd be interesting, but I don't think anybody's picking Denver in that series. OKC, if I had to drill down on one team, like I want to see if they are going to keep pushing, if they're going to be real and not just, you know, above average, if they're going to be the kind of team that in mid-April we are talking about, like, man, the length, the athleticism, the Paul George Russ dynamic that has changed a lot this year compared to last year. You know, that's the kind of thing that if their momentum keeps going forward, then, you know, whenever they cross paths, we could have ourselves a series. Selfishly, I'm going to Oklahoma City in a couple weeks and was looking at the schedule and kind of thinking, like, all right, you know, I'm curious to see if I still see them the way I do now, even in a couple of weeks. So that's definitely one team that has my attention.
Sam, when you look at the Warriors and what's going on, we heard Steve Kerr address this the other day about a guy you know pretty well, and that's DeMarcus Cousins. He's going to start adding some minutes. It's no longer a 25-minute barrier. How could that change how good the Warriors are? We're always looking at a team that can challenge the Warriors. If Boogie starts to add minutes and show that he's a semblance of the player that he was before the Achilles injury, how does that change the Warriors?
It's just huge because it's funny because early on, if you broke down the numbers of that five-man unit, you know, with him playing with the starters, it's counterintuitive, but it actually wasn't all that impressive as a group. You know, to me, you can't put a ton of stock in that, but because it's still an extremely imposing lineup. But I think the strength, ironically, to pull the Warriors' kind of old motto out, the strength and numbers that comes with having him is that staggering him with the second unit and essentially not giving your opponent, you know, that little breather that they have had over the past couple of years with certain lineups out on the floor. And I've said this before, I think, in talking to you guys, but, like, you know, when you start thinking about those moments when it was going to be Kevon Looney, Kevon Looney out there. And he has his strengths in what he does, but, you know, but you're not looking at him as an offensive threat. You're not looking at him as a guy who can be, you know, like a 7-foot version of Pete Maravich, which honestly, DeMarcus, like, is a wonderful passer when he, you know, when he has that hat on. He's just a 5-tool player, that, you know, just changes the dynamic of what they can do and doesn't let opposing defenses take that breather. I think one thing we sometimes forget is from a fatigue side of things, the 48 minutes, like, there are a lot of moments therein where these guys are constantly looking for a chance to take a breather, even on the floor. And the Warriors, because of their talent, just don't let you do that.
Sam, with the exception of Andre Iguodala and Kevon Looney, who is going to be the role player you think that's going to probably get the more of the play time? You look at Sean, look at Afonso, look at Cook, and Evans, and probably Jarepko. Out of those, who on that backup role you think is going to have play a significant role?
I mean, if I got to pick one, I feel like Sean would be the guy that I go with. I was tempted to say Jarepko because his shooting and, you know, he's had stretches during the season where he's been a really nice fit. And that's, you know, again, you add another shooter.
Sure.
A guy who stretches the floor, that's going to be big. But with Sean, almost more from a competitive, you know, kind of, dare I say, like, spiritual standpoint within the context of this team and their story and their history together. You know, if Sean can kind of recalibrate when the playoffs arrive, and, you know, and I know he's certainly on the later stages of his career, but he always kind of jokes with us, like, he's not as old as we kind of act like he is in terms of actual years. I think that would be big for Sean to be able to give them another guy who, again, is a playmaker hitting that mid-range and defensively giving them that length that, you know, when Steph is taking a blow, you know, do his thing. Because Quinn Cook at different times, you know, can put the ball in the hole, but the defensive deficiencies when he's out there are obviously an issue. And Sean, I think, could set the tone in those second unit minutes on the defensive end.
Sam Amick of The Athletic here on 95.7 The Game. Sam, I want to ask about the idea of the NBA Finals and the Warriors being the number one overall seed. Do you think that ultimately will matter to Golden State? Now, I realize we're leaping all the way ahead to June and a potential NBA Finals date with fill-in-the-blank from the Eastern Conference. But in your opinion, how important is it for the Warriors to have that home court advantage in the NBA Finals?
Dan, I think it's big. But it's not huge, but I do think it matters. You know, we don't know who, so let's just say it's Milwaukee and they lose out and that kind of race for home court with Milwaukee. And then, you know, I know it's not a real big sample size, but they have had
times, you know, in that venue. Well, I guess they changed arenas, but in that city where, you know, that's just not ideal in terms of being on the road, pretty passionate Bucks crowd. Those are the things that, yes, they matter. I think by and large, in my experience, we talk about them and focus on them more than the teams themselves. I get the sense that coaches and players, they just have a very hard time having that be a focal point, because in order to have that be a focal point, it means you have to be so presumptuous as to assume that you're going to get past the first round, the second round, the third round. And that's where I think, you know, these teams end up saying, listen, just let the chips fall where they may, because, you know, I'm not going to assume anything in a first round matchup, second, third round. So it's hard to, I think, compartmentalize that, but, you know, it obviously matters. You know, we all know the data and the information and the history that comes with home court versus, you know, having to go on the road four times in a seven game series. But you go look at the Warriors' road record, you know, during this dynasty era, and they certainly haven't struggled to win on the road either.
Sam, Warriors Kings tonight, and I know Boogie's going to get a lot of the spotlight as one of the guys who's going against his former team, but there's another storyline that's Warrior-related, and that's Harrison Barnes, the former Warrior, won an NBA title. How does he fit in with what the Kings are trying to do? And if you had to lay money on it today with 25 games to go, are the Kings in the best spot to get the 8th seed?
I'm excited for the game, for one. As you guys know, it's just wild because this NorCal thing is never relevant at the same time at all. And listen, the Kings are just a world away from the Warriors, but even, you know, kind of sniffing that world and being in the ninth spot right now is new. I think the Harrison thing has been good. He's still finding his way. I think he's a good fit. I'm curious to keep watching it evolve because, you know, it's a good problem for Sacramento to have, but they now officially have like a roster and a lineup where there's only one ball. De'Aaron Fox needs his shots and Buddy Hield needs his shots, and Bogdanovich likes that ball in his hands too. They have some guys that are not excessively ball dominant, but they have fairly high usage ratings. And so I think Harrison is going to keep trying to find his way within that system. From there, I think it would be a lot of fun to have this first round matchup. We all know who would win that thing, but you know, the history between the Marcus and the Kings, the history between Harrison and what he accomplished, you know, with the Warriors when he was there, which, you know, I think shouldn't be forgotten because I know, you know, he wasn't Steph, he wasn't Clay, he wasn't Draymond, but, you know, Harrison was part of that 73 win squad. And then before that, the squad that won the title. So, you know, he's done some things in the Bay. So a lot of layers to this matchup.
Sam, one more before we let you go is Sam Amick of The Athletic here on 95.7 The Game. How much does the NBA need to either embrace or distance themselves from this ongoing off-court saga? You wrote a piece saying how Silver, Durant, and Magic can remedy the angst they are causing. And then you have Kyrie Irving coming out and saying what he and KD talk about shouldn't be subject to media scrutiny. Where is the association as it pertains to all of this look-ahead chatter from the media and its fans?
Great question. This is a real issue right now. And I've talked to the league about it. And honestly, Adam Silver himself is a fascinating guy to look at, not only because he's the commander-in-chief, so to speak, but because he's got this background from NBA entertainment where he knows what moves the needle. He knows what sells, and he knows what led to the league signing, you know, a $25 billion deal with ESPN and Turner that created this cash spike that has, you know, players making upwards of $40 million a year. So what's part of the debate right now is, like, you know, the players and people in the league know that a major part of the reason that they're paid so handsomely is because of the discussion around them. But from a human standpoint, I think it's like Kyrie captured it in that media session yesterday. It's driving these guys nuts. And the stuff where I don't blame them at all is, for one, social media just always takes everything to a new level. And there's a kind of an element of toxicity that is really challenging on that front. The thing with Kyrie and KD talking in the hallway, I mean, that's a little rough when you're just talking to a friend,
right?
And you're getting videotaped, and sure, Now it's getting brought to you in the media. It's hard for us because the fans talk about something so much that you feel like part of our job is to be a steward for the fans and say, well, they're asking about this, so let's go check in with the player. But then, you know, you saw Kyrie's reaction where he's like, well, okay, why am I having to answer to this? The microscope is probably too bright at different times. And I think, honestly, even in our industry, we have to be responsible and try to keep recalibrating when it comes to what's fair game and what's not. You know, so there's a lot of sides to this thing, but it's definitely a real issue.
Before we let Sam go, I'm going to let everyone in the audience in on a little secret. Every national media guy, Spears, Amick, Friedel from ESPN, every Golden State Warriors beat writer are huge Sacramento Kings fans. They want Kings Warriors in round one. Sam's laughing. He knows what I'm talking about. And all of you guys are getting Kings tattoos for the final 25
Party
games.
Party at Sam's is what it means,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. These guys are going to be sleeping in their own bed.
I already told the wife, my lovely wife, that was part of the plan. I just need, maybe we can cut a 95-7 deal for like, I need a driver. We get like a party bus back and forth.
Oh, my God.
Without a doubt. I think we'll get John Dickinson. We'll throw Guru and Steiny in there, and it'll be quite a party, Sam Amick.
I like it. The driving is the only downside of that matchup. You know, we're not going to – Eric Musselman used to fly the Kings down and back and forth from the Bay. We're not going to be flying. The driving's the only bad part, but Coz, you're not wrong. That would be a lot of fun. Yep,
maybe a little Capital Corridor would work as well. Sam Amick of The Athletic. Sam, thanks for joining us. Enjoy Kings Warriors tonight, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
See you, buddy.
He's the best. Interesting listening at Sam and how he said, you know, we have to be careful what we do as the media. And he said he's talked to, you know, Adam Silver about it. And it's becoming a problem. And I think you see these players, you know, they're put up on the microphone. You after a game, you want to get the guys up there and you want them to talk and answer the questions. And they do it. And they understand that's a job that they have to do. You're a grown man playing a kid's game, getting a king's ransom. Now, sometimes the media has to have compassion. And we got to understand that, hey, look, that sometimes we go too far. We decide to infringe. We decide to push the envelope because for our own self-gratification. We got to be first. We got to have a break a story. We got to assume. And these individuals, they don't assume anything on our lives. And they're like, wow, the media. So even if maybe it's not all the media, maybe it's not you, Jim, maybe it's not you, Dibs, but there is a media as a whole. We have a duty to report the news. And is it really news or is it fake news? Does it really have substance? Does it really require that? And that's why Kyrie's saying, do I have to answer? You guys are saying because I have a conversation, now I got to tell you what I have a conversation about. So different than when our loved ones, our wives or kids, you might have a conversation with your son or your daughter. And that conversation, then someone says, hey, what are you guys talking about? No, that's that conversation with your kid. That's that conversation with your wife or who it may be. And then for us to push and say, what was that conversation about? What are you guys doing? It's wrong of us. And so we got to understand there's got to be balance. There's got to be fair
and boundaries too. Yeah.
And boundaries.
And that's the interesting part, Lo, because I totally agree with what Kyrie Irving's saying as far as what he and Katie are talking about, that's their conversation. You always like to say it's an A and B conversation, C, your way out of it. And in this case, I agree with it. But at the same time, on the other side, you have this insatiable desire for new information and new angles and new stories and clicks and page views and sports talk callers and I'm angry on TV and Stephen A. and all that other stuff. So
people need the money.
Is it
feeding the beast, or is it feeding to saying, is people afraid? Do they want to be? God, I broke that story. I'm going to be. You heard Jim. I'm the first to say that Katie's leaving. Is it really? I get it. And Katie, and honest, if you follow the tracks, it's not a big to me. It's not a big deal. Everyone acting like it's a big deal. It's not a big deal to me if he leaves. I understand.
I totally understand.
But I understand the workings, the inner workings of sports. But when two guys are having a conversation and someone's filming their conversation and they're uncomfortable even to talk because they know people are filming like it's some secret meeting, people assume because these guys are doing it, it's wrong.
But some people just like I'll be honest with you. There are some fans who see if you got that close to Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, it would be cool to film it and show your friends. Oh, my God, I can't believe I was this close to these guys. It's other people, once it's posted, who decide to put little comments and quotes and then they tweet it out. That's where the problem goes. I don't have problems with fans being excited or taking videos or pictures with guys.
Man, it's also fans, though. I'm sorry, Lo. You know, reading lips, like in the Clipper thing with KD.
Oh, no, that was real.
But which way was it real? Was it that's why I'm out of here, he said, or that's why I'm out here?
That's why I'm out.
That's why I'm out here. That's why I'm out here playing. So I think sometimes Kyrie's right. Lo makes a good point. We do go too far. But I see it on the other side as well, where as a media person, if you put up a story about KD and Kyrie, it's going to draw a lot more attention than Al Horford is 9 of 11 on turnaround jumpers.
And you know the bad thing about it, though, Daniel, and what it's hard for me, and it kind of vexed my soul and vexed my spirit, is what you're doing to the locker rooms. What are you doing to these other men? Because you got to realize, every bee that ever was, always say this, Coz, was partly sting and partly buzz. So how much is it is real and how much is it is just noise? And now you got to realize you got to go in and people are, now you got to face your guys. And haven't you sometimes, you might have said something that might have been funny and you say something and all of a sudden you don't mean it in a negative way. And all of a sudden now people are like, what'd you say? And
absolutely. It happens to me every time I'm on this show.
You're on the show, you're on TV, what it may be. And all of a sudden now something that can be took out of perspective. Are you with a guy or someone, you have a friend and maybe he did something. And all of a sudden you and me were having a conversation. And all of a sudden he comes around and all of a sudden we stop talking. And all of a sudden he said, what are you guys talking about? They feel that you've been infringing them. So you got to realize now, how does this locker room, that what were you guys talking about? And some people are going to believe that they're just boys, that they were just having a conversation.
Right.
But there's going to be others in that locker room and other people in that front office that say, oh, it's more than that. They were, and it's just, that's just human nature.
That's just dumb.
It is, but come on. How many times have you talked to a young lady or whatever, and all of a sudden, oh my God, what is he doing? Like, you don't have a motive. But all of a sudden, you're having a conversation. Yeah, you want a motorboat. Anyway, I just... as I digest, it's just sometimes we put ourselves in situations where people, they just assume.
Right. And that's what Kyrie Irving is taking offense at. And let's get the Kyrie audio here for the audience and so that we can have Jim Cosmore react to this as well, because Sam Amick wrote a great piece on The Athletic, theathletic.com. If you subscribe, if you don't, it's well worth it. And he talks about how the NBA is in a tough situation because fans are interested in these sagas. Players don't want to talk about it, yet the commissioner and other GMs are somehow complicit. Let's listen to what Kyrie said about all the reaction after he and KD had a private talk at the All-Star game.
That's where we start the conversation. What I do with my life is my business. So it's none of yours, none of anybody's, it's not anybody's business, right? So it's a video of me and one of my best friends talking. And then it turns out to be a dissection of a free agency meeting. You get that? Like, do you get that? And then I'm asked questions about it. Like, that's what disconnects me from all that. Like, because I have no connection to that. Like, over a video, I'm asking questions about the fans. You brought up the fans? Come on, man.
I'm on his side on this.
You're on Kyrie's side, Jim?
Because here's my deal. If those guys are going to talk about it, it's not going to be in the middle of the hallway at the All-Star weekend, okay? They're going to be alone. They're going to be somewhere where they're by themselves, or their agents are going to be involved. I'm just telling you.
And it's like if you fart, Jim, and all of a sudden you
what?
Farted. And
we call that a booty burp.
And a booty burp. What? You have a booty burp. And all of a sudden someone's watching you. You're like, dude, what I got to talk about that for? You in a private spot and someone's over there and they get here. Oh, what'd you then? I'm enjoying myself. It's between me
that's what
and
you
my
do
body.
To enjoy yourself.
I mean, come on.
That was the analogy we went.
I don't
that.
See this on the sheet. 852 booty burp. I don't see booty burp on it. Anna, do you see it on the sheet?
I didn't, but I've heard it called a butsy sneeze.
Butsy sneeze.
Butsy sneeze.
Alrighty, butsy sneeze and booty burps. Good morning, everybody.
We may have a Twitter poll like there. Which do you prefer?
Like, yeah, yes.
Which euphemism do you prefer?
Booty yes. burp.
That's a good one.
Butsy sneeze.
Yeah. Butsy sneeze. Butsy sneeze.
Aside
sneeze.
From what yeah. Kyrie Irving
wow.
said. All right.
Didn't know we'd go there.
Aside from that, they have to realize they benefit from us talking about it. Okay? Don't tell me that I can't talk about it,
you
Kevin Durant.
Cares?
When? Well, he obviously does because he addressed it, although he addressed it because he was asked about it. Kevin Durant can't tell me I can't talk about it when his brother or someone from his group Instagram something like didn't his brother Instagram something about
yes.
we're out of here?
Yes, that's why we're out of here.
That's why we're out of here. I mean, if that comes up,
he's talking about he's not nothing to do with it. He can't. He's not playing.
But
basketball.
All of this plays into the narrative. Right. And all of it helps to stoke the fires and feed the beast.
Why we care?
And we care because what we've seen from players now, the player movement era is upon us. So even when you're a fan of the Warriors and you've got Kevin Durant doing these 1+1 deals, he's got the player option, and you know that he holds all the cards. So as a fan, while you should absolutely be basking in the moment, enjoying the last season at Oracle, hoping your team wins three straight championships, you can't help but look ahead. And when the players, and when you've got Magic Johnson talking about AD, and he's also talking about Ben Simmons, it's not tampering because Ben called me for advice.
Yeah, that's a load of crap.
But, and this is to Sam's point in his article, it's Magic, it's the commissioner, it's KD, it's Kyrie, it's KD's brother. Everybody helps to keep this fire stoked.
And that's why LeBron does a phenomenal job. And you see LeBron take the picture?
Not really.
8:53.
No. Oh, come
that's
on.
When the first mention.
No. He went earlier with LeBron. Dude, you were still asleep in the 6:15. No doubt.
Okay.
You're telling me that when he does his.
Can I do something real quick and then you can jump in? And I want you to. I'm sorry because I know
I'm going to jump in early because
but
this is my show today.
I want to say something right now and then you can go ahead and jump in.
Please, Lo, go ahead.
Okay. Now I want you to jump in and hold your thought. Remember where your thought was. You still got it? You still got it? You got it?
Okay. You're helping.
Okay, are you a magician?
I had to write it down, but yes.
Okay. So. Think about what LeBron does. He understands Magic did something. Everyone said, so what did he do? He takes a picture with Anthony Davis and Ben. They're right by it. Just because he's just like, okay, I know they're going to run with it. He understands. And a lot of guys just don't have skin like
so
that.
So they're trolling.
He's trolling. You know that he's doing
then
that.
Then don't get mad when we talk about it.
And he doesn't. That's why I think that certain guys can handle. Go ahead. I'll let you finish your thought.
Well, it's not so much that he can handle it. I think that he needs it. He thrives on the attention. That's why when he does the rewind video for Kyrie and he tells Kyrie basically how he wants to rewind and go back and fix the things that are broken. And when Kyrie calls his big, when Kyrie calls his big brother and tries to get advice, LeBron makes sure everybody knows that Kyrie called him to get advice from his big brother. So he is in a whole nother world by himself.
But okay. Now, wouldn't the media, so if everyone's like that, couldn't we all just get along even better? I mean, are
you would figure, but some players don't want to, some players don't want to be a part of the feeding of the beast.
I get it, but he understands, look, they're going to talk no matter what. My dad always told me, Dibs, may he rest in peace, Big Glenn. He said, son, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but he said you can stop him from landing. And that's what you got to realize. LeBron knows he can't stop the media from doing what they're going to do. But he can stop from blaming. So instead, he just lets that. You like that? You can use.
I do like that. And so I guess by your analogy, and I'm suddenly imagining birds flying now instead of NBA players going to the cup. But in this analogy, KD and Kyrie are trying to stop the birds from flying when they should just be worried about the landing.
Yes!
And they're also worried about birds pooping on their head because it's another thing you can't control. Big Glenn probably didn't work blue like that, though.
See, I don't get that. So you're saying that I'm not supposed to follow that a guy's got an opt-out in his contract and what teams might have money available for him. I'm not supposed to think about that. I'm only supposed to talk about this after July 1st when one of these guys decides I'm going to play for X team. Then I can get excited and then I can start talking about it. That's a bunch of garbage.
What's garbage? Why? Okay, so what can I do to stop? Listen, if I don't like you, I'm not going to come over there and put my hands on you. Do you want me to do that?
No,
okay.
I don't. I'll be honest with you.
It's a worst case scenario.
Yeah. Yeah, there'd be something. Yeah. If that's your last option, please.
My point is, look, we ain't going to move no furniture in here. It's not worth it. So why are I get what they're saying. They're frustrated. But you know what? They cannot stop this. That's what we're saying. I'm just saying, I get it. I understand their frustration, but you can't stop them. The birds are going to fly south. You ain't going to stop them, Daniel.
Amen.
Let them fly.
Bird's going to fly.
He's going to fly over your head. You can't. It's impossible. You can have a shotgun. You can have every type of gun you want. You can't stop them from flying over your head. They're going to do it. But you can stop them from landing, Cozy. That's all, Cozy.
And you could stop them from pecking your eyes out, too, if they come down and they try to
shout
get
out
at
Tippy
you.
Hedren.
Yes, that's so great. Bodega Bay, of course, the birds.
Thank you.
That's where I had my bachelor party at Bodega Bay. We actually played hoops at my bachelor party at the court where the grammar school were the birds and the whole thing.
Is it still there? Have they paved over it? Or
no, it's pretty spooky, though. They got the old field still out there. And
is that true?
Outdoor basketball court. That was 1998, Jim. I don't know what's going on out there now. They might have condos.
What are you doing? I'm making a great point. You guys just derailed it.
We took your birds. We brought it to Tippy Hedren in the movie The Birds, which was a Bay Area film thing. And I'm afraid now we are all out of time. Coming up next, Lowe's going to tell you why Zion Williamson won last night. That's ahead, plus a State of the West. Keep it locked right here to 95.7 The Game.
But first, hold on.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.